The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you and happy Thanksgiving. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Bar Canada at the D. How you doing?
Hey-o.
Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving. I love that you're doing this every morning because
I'm committed.
You are committed.
Oh, yeah.
At this point to it. But like,
wait till Tu B'Shvat rolls around.
But Thanksgiving is it's a great week. It is a great week. So I'm very okay with you going full like birthday week on it.
Yeah. By the way, that was a joke for a few out there. They enjoyed it tremendously. On the show today, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, host of Hardwood Handicappers. You know anything about that podcast? Anything?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
He's also our
yesterday.
What's that?
Said I made an appearance yesterday.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kelly's the co-host of that podcast, and JVT will be with us as not only the senior NBA analyst, but as one who hosts a couple college football shows during the weekend. We will talk to him about college ball. What a weekend of football, pro and college. Oh, boy. Rivalry week in college football. Will Hill with all of his bets, pro in college. He's got a bevy as we roll up into the Megapod today, a day early after the show. We'll do it with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and Chris Velika from Fox Sports, our rotating guest today. Mike Pritchard on the show today, Jason Weingarten, and the return by popular demand of Right Angle Sports. College basketball releases live on air today on the show about an hour plus from now. Let's say an hour and 15 minutes from now. Michael Craig will be here. And you remember, if you're a longtime listener of the show, how this works. Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports will come on. He will give us a rotation number because college basketball is, you know, massive in terms of its slate of games. He will let us know. He will give us some moments to get to that particular game. And then he will tell us if it's a go or if it's just some fakakta thing and he's going to move on to the next game.
Yeah, go or cancel. Go or cancel.
They didn't say fakakta. He says cancel?
Yeah.
Okay. So he'll say cancel. I was just curious. And if it's a cancel, and the reason, by the way, that Right Angle Sports does this is because they want to be able to get this specifically when they do this for clients, that clients get it first and not someone else. They'll do the same process with us on the show. If it is a cancel, we'll move on to the next one and we'll go from there. It's happened. What do you say the most times we did it last year? Do it happen like three or four times on one of these where we went like three cancels and then finally?
Yeah, I think you're about right. Yeah. It wasn't a ton, but it was a few times.
There was a couple people who thought if he canceled the first, he was absolutely a go on the second one, and they would like try to get ahead of it. But don't do that. It'll give us 30 seconds to get prepared, and we'll go from there. There's the rules right there on the screen. If you're watching, add the bet to your bet slip. You'll have 30 seconds to find it, go or cancel. If it's a go, you bet immediately. If it's a cancel, not a bet, remove it from the bet slip. You will see that this moves markets globally on college basketball. Right Angle Sports has that kind of juice, that kind of gravitas.
It is wild.
It's pretty incredible.
It is wild. I have my Don Best screen back here, and it just lights up like a Christmas tree whenever we do this.
And that's not like, you know, you rando in sports betting media, but I just move the market with my opinion. Right. This is like legit moves the whole thing.
And yes, these games, these guys usually play too, right? They're not as heavily bet into games, so they go and release, and it's like, whoa!
By the way, like hopefully after that they win, right? That's the real point.
Still got to get home, yep.
But they still got to get home. That's it. Okay, let's start the show here. Well, first, before I get into this MVP, because I did make a NFL MVP bet. Did you happen to catch the Pacers game yesterday?
Ooh, or what do you happen to catch it? Come on, it was appointment viewing. It was appointment viewing for me yesterday, Gil, from the beginning, and I couldn't have possibly thought it was going to live up to the hype. No, nay, surpass it, okay?
Nay. Nay. Oh, good use of nay.
Nay, surpass.
Can you spell nay, by the way?
N-A-Y.
N-E-I-G-H, I believe.
Fine.
Well, that too. You might be right. I don't know. I think I'm right, though. So I actually mentioned this with Drew when Drew Dinsick was on the show yesterday. And we were talking about the Wizards and how unserious the Wizards are and how the only team I said that gives up more points per game than the Wizards, it happens to be the Pacers. The Pacers are a more serious version of the unserious Wizards. The preflop total on this Pacers-Hawks game last night was 253. I got a text from my buddy Michael Montesano yesterday. He goes, the in-game number is 293.5. Yep. You got to watch this. How about 309? Pacers 157, the Hawks 152. I would have loved Romeo, by the way, who works here at the D, is doing his dance behind the bar, who works with us, because apparently he had something on this. This, I wish I was present for most of this because this would have been an overfest. You were not part of an overfest.
Yeah, it was. I got in one live bet on it, but it was one of those. I had the Hawks, a Hawks pregame, and then a Hawks live bet. So I kind of split those when the Atlanta fell behind. They were leading for most of the game. I got in live. I'm trying to remember what my number was because it was like 280 something. It was 280. I think it was 282 and a half is what I got over on. So it was. I waited until pretty, you know, well into the game because these guys were. They just weren't missing, you know, and we often talk about, you know, live betting NBA. OK, expect some of these shooting numbers to regress one way or the other. And it was like 60% field goal percentages. But it got to a point where the pace was so fast up and down. And like, Gil, it was like, hey, come set a screen for me. OK. And the other guy goes under the screen when you know the guy's just going to take a jump shot. So it was like wide open three pointer after wide open three pointer.
This is good for basketball, right? Offense.
Yeah.
They're not going to win the title, either of these teams, but it's good for basketball.
You're not winning a title this way, but no. For NBA regular season, right. I'll take as many of these games as you want to give me.
Let's not get crazy. It was the opposite of that Kansas-Marquette game yesterday, which was just an underfest down the stretch, which Marquette ends up blowing out Kansas in the ballgame. Number one ranked Kansas. College basketball is in great shape right now with some of these entertaining games. By the way, Tennessee couldn't. All they did was hoist threes down the stretch of their game versus Purdue, which was really... which was very odd yesterday as well. I'll be at the Pepperdine game today, Dollar Loan Center. While you're watching those kinds of teams today, I'll be at the Dollar Loan Center watching Pepperdine. Let's go, Michael Ajayi and Houston Millette against Indiana State.
So I love that arena. I haven't been back since we saw Wemby there. But it's great. I was just telling Sean yesterday, Sean McCollum does our audio, great audio op. I was like, he was talking about a couple of the tournaments that are going on there soon. I was like, yep. I'm getting over there for a couple games.
I got this. I got a podcast. I'm going to the Pepperdine game. I got, you know, I'll get a Betts giving bet in eventually. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. I got a feeling already. I got a feeling.
There you go. Okay. I made an NFL MVP bet 2 days ago. Let me just give you the background. I had my pre-flop season-long NFL bets. The Carolina Panthers 15-1 is the last winless already cashed. Giants alternate season win total under looks good. The other ones, not so much. The only ones that I've made in season, I made a few in season. I made Puka to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's not going to happen. Stroud's going to win that. And then I did the whole thing early in the year where I'm like, I'm going to do Tyreek for MVP, Brock Purdy for Offensive Player of the Year at really long odds. I think 75-1-ish on both. I am going to show that I'm smarter than the room. Well, guess what? I'm not. None of those are going to get home. And the reason for that is a lot of that is we have Aaron Schatz on. Aaron Schatz is not only the founder of Football Outsiders, but he's also a football award voter from the Associated Press. So he's one of the 50 people that votes on all of these NFL awards. And with our multiple appearances with him, both on the Megapod and here on a numbers game, what has become clearer than ever is that these guys, and he doesn't represent everybody, but he represents where it's going with more analytics-based voters. And as a result of that, again, I've said this, it is not my job to crusade for I think Tyreek Hill is the MVP. And by the way, I do, but it doesn't matter. I'm trying to win a bet.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to help people win bets.
Micah Parsons did back you up yesterday.
Micah Parsons says that Tyreek Hill is the MVP. And here's the case for Tyreek Hill. No one's ever gotten 2,000 yards receiving. He may end up with 200-300 yards more than that. He is very much intent on getting past 2,000 yards. That's awesome, especially in a year where nobody else of the real names like Hurts and Mahomes and Allen is really standing out. The counter argument, though, is this. It's the fact, first of all, that, you know, I want to be consistent. When I was talking about baseball years ago, people who have listened to this show enough remember that I've said in 2012 and 2013, if you listen to the podcast way back when, but even on a numbers game, I used to bring this up 5 years ago, which is in 2012, when it was Miguel Cabrera versus Mike Trout in Major League Baseball, I said you have to give the MVP to Miguel Cabrera. It was the big debate that year because for 45 years in baseball, we've talked about this hallowed triple crown. Now you've got somebody doing it. You can't forget after 45 years, just randomly, you're going to go to these newfangled analytics. So they did give it to Cabrera. I was right about that. And then after that, you can give it to Trout all you want. 2,000 yards in receiving ain't that. if we're being honest, we're just kind of making that up as a threshold. Football is not a stats-driven thing like it is in baseball. So if Tyreek Hill breaks that, the other counter-argument is, yeah, but A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb might only be a few hundred yards behind him anyway.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, when Cooper Kupp did win, speaking of triple crowns, the receiving triple crown 2 years ago, he didn't get the MVP, got the Offensive Player of the Year. Now it's voted. The real thing is it's voted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 now. And that'll be a way for voters to get Tyreek Hill in there without having to give it to him. What do I really think is going to happen in the voting? Who do I think is going to benefit from a splintered vote where no one has really outshined the competition? I think it's going to be my offensive player of the year guy, Brock Purdy, who I think is way better than most people do. And Brock Purdy now, after a perfect game in terms of passer rating this last week at 158.3, first time a Niner has done that since 1989, Joe Montana. If you want analytics voters, here they are. Yes, in the standard counting stats, he's sixth in passing yards. He's four behind the lead in touchdowns. But he's first in passer rating. Oh, by the way, he's first in total QBR, if you prefer that. He's first in completion percentage. He's first in touchdown per attempts. He's first in yards per attempt. He's first in yards per completion. Brock Purdy is the guy who I believe benefits the most from a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 vote and a vote that will not have a consensus number one guy. And so I bet Brock Purdy at 16-1 over there at BetMGM. And Kelly, they respected my money and my bet so much that they moved it to 16-1, meaning they didn't move it at all. You can still get it at that number. That's the case for Brock Purdy for me. Not trying to win some crusade, just trying to win a bet. We'll come back. JVT on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, now's your best chance to sign up and save. Sign up on our Black Friday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st. For only $60, sign up today. Get access to daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowls, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss our best new subscriber offer of the year. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our Black Friday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. First things first, you are correct. It's N-A-Y for nay. N-A-Y.
Well.
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting fancy on me.
It's you.
I thought there was a chance we were both right. Like there
no,
was like an
I don't think I'm right
English
at all.
Spelling, you know what I mean? And then.
Yeah, I think I saw someone misuse it and then I just decided they were right about it. They were incorrect. Hey,
you could easily convince me to. Like when you brought that up, I was like, he's probably right.
By the way, one last thing about the MVP thing. The other thing about I want to be consistent, right? I want to be consistent in, you know, hey, if it's a hallowed record, you have to give somebody an award. If it's not some hallowed record, you don't have to, right? And I know we're crossing sports, but I really believe that's a thing. The other thing is just if we're immersed in sports betting, I can't really stump for the wide receiver, right? Because a wide receiver still doesn't move a betting number like a quarterback does. And in that respect, do I like that MVP has become a de facto quarterback award and that the last non-quarterback to win it was 2012 and Adrian Peterson? I do not. And in fact, I could even argue that this year is the year that if you don't give it to a non-quarterback, you should just rename the awards at this point.
I do,
but that's how it is, and I'm not trying to win a crusade. I'm trying to win a bet.
You got to win the bet. Yeah, you got to win the bet. That's the trickiest part with awards. You got to handicap the voters. But if you do know, like at least we kind of know from one voter what they look at. You know what I mean? Like that is a leg up.
Yeah.
And what bets you should be making? I like your bet. I think of. If I had to make an MVP bet right now, it probably would be Brock Purdy. I think that's a good number.
Who do you think? Let me just ask this question. Who do you think in your heart of hearts, if the vote were today, what is your instinct? Do you? Because remember, we had both Schatz and Eager come on. Before I could even finish the sentence, they're like, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And then Josh Allen goes out and throws three picks. You know, we even saw it. He didn't last week, of course. We saw it in that nighttime game where, you know, Joe Buck is going around calling gunslinger, what a gunslinger. And then he like drops the hand off, you know, so it's like they have such preconceived notions of these guys. And in the end, Jalen Hurts is the short shot. Do you think Jalen Hurts is the MVP of the NFL? I don't. Not this year.
Man. Were you about to say if it ended today?
If it ended? No, I'm just saying if the vote were today, in your heart of hearts, what is your instinct? This is obviously no size. This. Who do you think will end up with MVP?
It would be if it ended today, Hurts or Tua. I think it would be Hurts or Tua right now.
I don't
know that that's who it's going to be at the end, but if it ended today, I think it would be Hurts and Tua.
I kind of feel like it might be Purdy.
Okay.
Because I think the way that they vote this, now remember, remember all those years where they said, hey, Russell Wilson has never gotten an MVP vote. That's because they only voted for one dude and one place. And so he never got it. Now that it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if you have split, let's say you have, you know, I don't know. If we'll take 50, we'll just make it easy. Let's say you had 15 Hertzes and 10 Mahomeses and 10 Allens and 5 Purdies. Could we get so many second place Purdies, right? You know what I mean?
Totally.
I think that he might still get it right now.
So I think, JVT, we're getting to you. Hold on.
I didn't even know we had him.
I think you're right with that. And this definitely opens it up. We've seen basketball awards get won from guys that didn't get the most first place votes. And when things are so bunched right now between a bunch of guys, I think it opens it up to that. And I think that, yes, you're dead on with Purdy would be an easy number two guy.
Yeah.
If you're not going to go number one, the other one I think you got to watch out for in that is Mahomes. So
Mahomes, as always,
where someone could easily make a case they want to go someone else number one, and they're going to put Mahomes number two out of principle, basically.
Just make it a bet. Value bet to me is Purdy here at 16 to 1. You shop around for these. I didn't know we had JVT. I was vamping because we don't see JVT. But Jonathan Montoble joins us now, everybody. He's our senior NBA analyst. He's also the host of Hardwood Handicappers and a pair of college football shows over the weekend with Pam Maldonado. How you doing, John?
Good, guys. What's going on?
How you doing? Were you part of that Pacers-Hawks game last night? Anything bet-wise?
No. I tried to make the case on the podcast. You try to go under on a game like that with a 253, but thank God I didn't bet it because I think they had 160 points at halftime. So, no, I did not get in there. It's getting a little ridiculous with these Pacers games, though. And actually, I messed around with betting their game under today. It's 238.5, but, it's insane with the way that Pacers games are going. No defense, all pace. What is it? All gas, no brakes. It's been insane that we're going to see this. Their average total was 235 for the year going into that game yesterday, and it sailed over the total. I don't know what you're going to do here. You're going to get to an average total of 240 before we know it.
It's phenomenal. 157, 152. Once again, in case you missed it, Pacers beat the Hawks last night as 3.5-point dogs. Do you have anything in the NBA today yet, or do you typically not make bets this early?
Oh, no, I'll bet quite a bit early, and it looks like the market might be moving with me on a couple of these. So I did take four with the Orlando Magic. We're starting to see a couple 3.5s pop up here. I think, look, the Orlando Magic are on the second leg of a back-to-back, but it's a home back-to-back, so they're not going anywhere. They're just going home and then waking up and coming right back to the arena, so it's not that arduous of a task for them to do that. And they're taking on a Denver team that's really quietly has struggled since they lost Jamal Murray to injury. In the games in which they don't have Jamal Murray, offensive rating of 113.5. You're taking on the best defense statistically now in the NBA, in the Orlando Magic. They are the Nuggets 0-6 against the spread their last six games. So the market's been a little too high on them, and it coincides with the loss of Murray. So I think when you're talking about a team that's in the midst of this road trip, taking on a young squad that's actually really efficient in transition, I think it's kind of a tough spot for Denver to come on the road here and take on the Magic. So four with the Magic. I laid four with Charlotte Hornets here. I think this is playable up to 5.5. The Wizards stink, and Kelly knows this. I've been hyping up LaMelo Ball. Gil, how about this over his last eight games? LaMelo Ball, 32 points, 6.5 rebounds, 8 assists on 50% shooting from the floor. On Monday, he had 36, 9, and 8 and beat the Celtics single-handedly. I don't think the Wizards have any answer for who he's going to be on the floor today. So lay four with the Hornets. And then the last one. I did take a money line play Pelicans at +110. This is just one of those. I always liken it to I don't remember what movie it is, but Will Ferrell, when he's like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. You know, the market opened this thing up. DraftKings was 3.5. We're now sitting at Sacramento -2. And if you look at Orlando or New Orleans, our injury report, you're going to get Zion Williamson, you're going to get Brandon Ingram. Market's just, I think, too high on Sacramento. On Monday, they closed as road favorites, lost the game outright by nearly 40 points. I think the Pelicans are just getting better. They're getting healthier. They're getting more continuity. So play the Pelicans money line again. I bet them Monday, and I'm coming back to the well today.
All right. Bevy of NBA picks. College football, you host on Saturday at noon, Live Bet Saturday, and on Sunday, the College Lines Revealed show. What did you land on in rivalry week?
So I don't really think there's much to play here, but I think there's a couple of the angles that are worth looking at. And a couple of these are angles like where you're playing teams that are fighting for bowl eligibility versus teams that maybe don't have anything to play for. But we'll go to the Big Ten here. Illinois is taking on Northwestern. For those who didn't see it over the weekend, Northwestern, of course, got a big emotional win over Purdue. They clinched bowl eligibility, something none of us expected. I don't say none of us, but not many expected, and I was among them. Now they're hitting the road to take on Illinois 5-6 and can win and get into bowl eligibility themselves. I think it's a big emotional come down to get a big win at home, get bowl eligibility, then hit the road to take on an Illinois team fighting for just that. So we're starting to see sixes appear. There's still plenty of 5.5s, but I laid it with Illinois. I think they're pretty live in this spot to take Northwestern. And another one, I think the situation is fascinating. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I'm going to take a stab at it here. Louisville is playing Kentucky, and it's a big rivalry spot, right? So both teams should be charged and ready to go. However, Louisville does have a very vulnerable Florida State team coming up next week in the ACC championship game. And I think that you're going to be looking at this Louisville squad as, I don't know if it's looking ahead. I would say I wouldn't even prep for Kentucky. I would do everything I possibly can to get ready for Florida State next week and win an ACC championship in my first year if I'm Jeff Brohm. So I took 7 with Kentucky. I think they're going to be pretty live staying inside of that number against the Cardinals.
I like it. All right. How's the JVT model? How's the John Vaughn model going?
So last week was a good week. I think we're 2 games above 500 in terms of overall edges, 3-2 on the contest play. Really solid bounce back after a couple of tough weeks. And the real changes, I know I haven't been able to talk to you guys about this, but I changed the model. I rebuilt it the other week. I built what's called a Bradley Terry model, and then I added stuff to it. And the result has been positive so far. Nice. So it's only been 2 weeks with this brand new model. But yeah, a winning week, and we'll see how this turns out, but we're adding more and more to it as we go along, and I'll be adding more to it tonight.
And what does it point to this week, if anything?
So I haven't updated it yet. Today is the day where we're going to look at that. So I'll be willing to say, because one of the things that I've always talked about some of these projections, as you well know, bad teams are never as bad and the good teams are never as good. And so like last week before I had put it in, I had the Giants circled and sure enough, they popped up. So I'm going to be on some bad teams.
Hey, John, I don't think it takes a model to come to that conclusion this week. I think we're all going to be on a bunch of bad teams. It's just that kind of week in the NFL. That's how the lines have shaken out. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Jonathan Von Tobel at MeJVT, Hardwood Handicappers co-host, and of course our senior NBA analyst as well. Coming back with Will Hill and all his picks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. If you're a smoker or a dipper looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn's made with 6 simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. Also, wintergreen. Bill 80 swears by that one. And it's available in 2 strengths so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. And because it's discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets, we get texts. This is a text from one Michael Montesano, who won the Booby Prize. He says, if you put Mahomes' name next to Purdy's stats today, Mahomes would be minus 200. If it's Josh Allen, Allen would be plus 120. He is so right.
Yeah.
And Brock Purdy is 16-1.
Yeah, agreed.
We get tweets. Brad Sports, happy Thanksgiving to you and your loved ones, Gil. Thank you, Brad Sports. Appreciate that. My loved ones need happy thoughts. That's for sure these days. Web 12. Angriest guy in Kentucky. No fooling around. Wanted to tell you guys happy Thanksgiving. One of the few things I do every day. Watch this show and take a dump, he said. I'm just reading.
And then tweet me and Gil individually, not yes, together.
That's right.
Roughly, what's the over-under during a show? 11.5 times?
Oh, easily.
Okay.
Easily. Yeah. You gotta pick and choose with him. Mike Stacks, happy Thanksgiving to you and Kelly. If you had Kansas City available for Survivor, how comfortable would you feel using them when they can't score in the second half? It's like using a Survivor entry on a team who plays one half of football. Seems like a bad idea. Yeah, but if you have them available, they're clearly the biggest favorite on the board. And if you've still got them, a lot of people don't. I think I'd use them. Also, I would have been knocked out twice already. And then Assistant U.S. Attorney Derek... assume Megapod today? Yes. Something to talk about. Jets, Saleh apologist, blame quarterback situation for the Jets' failure. But how then are the Browns 7-3? Reason Browns make an effort to run the ball and get game to the fourth quarter. Look at the Jets' rushing attempts. I think there's a lot of that that goes around. I'll read more tweets because the tweets are awesome today. And happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. I say that about the whole Bryce Young apologist, right? They're like, oh, he doesn't have anybody on Carolina. Really? Were you aware of Noah Brown and Nico Collins and Tank Dell before this season? Like, that's not an excuse for Bryce Young.
Hell no.
Because C.J. Stroud is making stars of everybody. Will Hill's a star already, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He's star of the Megapod and, of course, the Bear Bets Pod, college and pro football versions. He joins us now. How you doing, Wilson? What's happening?
Gil, and especially Kelly, happy Thanksgiving. What's going on? Good to see you guys.
Well,
the angriest guy in Kentucky, he needs like his own, I don't know, podcast. We can give him like an hour show, an hour. It's vacation. It's holiday time. People are on vacation. We can give him just like an hour host of Easton. I think that'd be very entertaining. I would listen. I tune in. I know that.
Yeah, that's a good call right there. Greg Peterson only works about 365 days a year.
Hold on. What was with the Gil and especially Kelly happy Thanksgiving? What was that all about right there? What was that little slight?
Kelly's sensitive to these things. You know, I want people, we have a very good audience. You have a very good audience. I want people for the next 2-3 weeks to just constantly randomly flood Kelly with happy Thanksgiving. It reminds me of, it was after Mike and the Mad Dog broke up. Mike was solo and somebody called him. It was like March, early April. Like, hey, Mike, happy new year. And he like flipped out. Why are you saying happy new year? It's early April. So I want a similar thing for Kelly.
Okay. Get it now.
This is also, we did Hardwood Handicappers yesterday. I should have brought this up while JVT was on. JVT asking me and Zach Cohen what we're doing for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, I got a show I'm doing in the morning and then watching football. And like, I'm going to go over to a buddy's house for like a little bit, but you know, basically just a regular Thursday. It was his way of like working into like, so JVT, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? He's like, well, I've got this master plan for like turkey frying and everything. Yada yada. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like that, you just wanted to talk to get to that guy. Great.
I see. Will, I'm not sure if you wanted me to mention this on air, but I'm going to anyway. It's 26.5 between Iowa and Nebraska. Do tell what you're doing with that.
So I got permission. I need some written consent from gambling overlord Steve Fezzik, but he said it's okay to go ahead and throw it in some 10-point teasers. I did it anyway. I just look at it as like a free square on a bingo card where like we talk about this NFL preseason week one where, hey, well, you take these totals 27, 28, low 30s. If you tease it down to like, you know, whatever, 19, 20, 21, if you go under, hey, you beat me. But there's some 26. I guess there's a 25.5 out there. If you throw it in some 10-point teasers with whatever, some of these big favorites, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, if you want to tease up, yeah, obviously make sure you use as many key numbers as possible. But like at the end of the day, it's a football game. You're going down to 15.5, 16. I'm going to wheel in some teasers and just see what happens. If both teams score a touchdown, it goes over because 7-7 is 14. Somebody's got to kick a field goal. I guess you get a safety. It's Iowa. I guess they can get a safety, but I use it in some 10-point teasers. I don't think it's crazy.
I love it. I love the creativity on that. I think it's a historical thing. You got to give it a try. I do feel like I should say, what could possibly go wrong? And I want to channel Wishnev and say, final score, Iowa 10, Nebraska 6. You know, like, what could possibly torpedo all of these? But that is I like that idea, man. It's the free bingo square mentality. Take a shot at that.
It can lose, any bet can lose. Like, yeah, that's how I'm approaching
100%.
It.
100%. All right. So what did you land on pre-flop college football in terms of sides or totals, sir?
I actually do like Nebraska in that game. Iowa, if you watched them last week, they were very happy on the sideline. They were very satisfied with themselves clinching a spot in the Big Ten title game. And like, good for them. It's warranted. They take a lot of shots. They take the punchline, the butt of a lot of jokes, but they're in the Big Ten title game. I don't know that they have the motivation for this game. While Nebraska is playing to get to a bowl, I think in his first year, it would mean a lot to get to bowl. They're at home. I just think there's a motivation edge there for Nebraska. So I did lay a money line. I don't want to lay two. With an Iowa, Nebraska, with these two offenses, it could easily land on a point or two. So it's a cheap enough money line where I took Nebraska. I think Oregon State plus 14, it's minus 120. It's mostly 13.5. I think that's a lot of points. I just think everyone's off Oregon State. They let everyone down last week after a lot of people were against on them against Washington. If you look, Oregon State, their three losses by 9 points. This is still an Oregon team that a couple weeks ago against a completely dead USC team, 17-point favorites. They only won by 9. So Oregon State, I think, can run the ball. Keep it close. I know on the Bear Bets podcast, Jeff Schwartz, who you've had on, he's in Oregon alum. I think Oregon's going to roll here. So take that for what it's worth. But I just think that's a lot of points. And sometimes these teams that have national title aspirations, you say, oh, they're motivated. The other team's not. They can also come out tight. And when the other team is fast and loose, they have nothing to lose. And they can just, you know, run a fake punt, go for it on fourth down. So I think Oregon State, that line is a little high. And so Oregon State, Nebraska, and I actually think Texas Tech is a little high against Texas. I'm just waiting for it. We haven't had it. We haven't had that earth-shattering upset. You know, it's got to be coming at some point. It's almost the law of football where we get that one upset that's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this team lost. I mean, maybe we'll just get through the whole season without it happening. It would be strange. It would definitely be the outlier, but you got to figure one is coming at some point.
I'm totally conflicted between what I'm rooting for, utter chaos or just no problem, no controversy whatsoever, 4 undefeateds and there's nothing to talk about, because the chaos scenario will have everybody going nuts. And you know, like a one loss Alabama's getting in. Like, we know how this works. So I can't wait for that. So I don't know. I'm conflicted on what I'm rooting for here. There is a chaos scenario, that's for sure. NFL week 12. This is, and we're going to talk about this on the Megapod a little over an hour from now. I think this is the hardest week by far this year in the NFL. Yeah. You?
I'm with you. I'm going over what the three picks for the Megapod are going to be. I think it's a great teaser week. I know teasers can be a cop-out and not great content, but hey, it's a betting show. We're trying to make money. There's a lot of 1.5. You just, in these low-scoring games, you tease up the 1.5 to the 7.5, and you just kind of forget about them, and you live with the results. So there's a bunch of those out there. I've actually talked myself into Detroit minus 7.5 tomorrow. If you look at Green Bay's injury report, my goodness, they are all beat up. They played, 2 months ago? And Green Bay, it was in Green Bay, and Detroit was up 27-3 at half. Now you're going to play in Detroit. You're off of a poor performance. And you can make the case. Look, the Lions have shown some flaws here recently, but you can say that's the sign of a good team where you can play poorly and still win. I just think that's going to be a crazy crowd. They're going to move the ball up and down the field. Green Bay's all beat up. So you always worry about a backdoor, especially with a bad secondary, but I'm going to lay the 7.5. I mean, most of my bets are tied with Lions teasers, but I don't mind laying the 7.5 there. I think they win that game and win it with some margin.
I love that thinking, because I am totally getting in the mode of, I want to avoid as much mayhem on Sunday as possible. I want to make as many plays on tomorrow or Friday games. Like, I'll be okay losing on the Lions. I'll be okay losing on the Niners. I don't know if these are going to be my Megapod picks or not, in a way that I wouldn't if I say bet Tennessee to beat, you know, to cover against Carolina, that kind of thing. What else besides the Lions? One more.
I did play under Chiefs, Raiders. Kansas City has morphed into an under team. Vegas, I almost called them Oakland. I did call them Oakland. They've actually played decent defense the last couple of months. So Kansas City's not going to pull away from anybody. They're not that explosive anymore. So I think 43.5, it's around there. I like the under that one.
Well, always appreciate it. Not only the Bear Bets Pod, but of course the Mega Pod and Gold Boys. Plug away, sir.
Twitch.tv/Goldboys Network. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, everybody. Talk to him in about an hour with Todd Wishnev and Chris Felica on the Beating the Book Megapod coming up. We'll talk more football on the other side. A couple creative markets to look into. Number one seed and beyond next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There is so much to be thankful for, Kelly. Family, friends, food, Olivia Rodrigo, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Vegas. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate all the feedback. Arch Indy, quote, not just trying to win a crusade, trying to win a bet. Not trying to win a crusade, trying to win a bet. He's quoting me. Print the shirts. Happy Thanksgiving Day, fellas. Thanks for a solid show every day. Thank you. Appreciate that, Arch Indy. Cleve T.A., our buddy on Twitter, who is one of the great NFL follows, he has tweeted in on the show. He's listening, and he said, for the last 10 years, again, about the Brock Purdy MVP bet, for the last 10 years, the MVP winner has led the NFL in EPA per dropback every year except one season. That was 2015 when Cam Newton was eighth. But at 15-1, you couldn't ignore that. Purdy is number one right now. Dak and Tua in the mix as well.
Boom. Yeah. Okay.
EPA per dropback.
That's where I brought it up yesterday. Like, that was, if it would be Purdy, probably Purdy one for me if I had to make a bet right now. Dak would be number two, though. Like, I don't think he's right there. He's lurking.
I got to get Ethan Strauss on the show. He's a Bay Area writer who rhapsodizes beautifully about Brock Purdy, compares him to Draymond Green and the Warriors dynasty, and how Draymond is not considered, you know, the key cog in that wheel, but how key he actually is, that kind of thing. Chris Heath, I just punched in Brock at 12-1. Now it's down to 10-1 over at Wager on the Internet. John Fitzgibbons.
That's my favorite bit we do.
Wager on the Internet?
That and the, you know, that shop that's open every day out of the year. Yeah, that's a good one.
Would you the shop? Oh, yeah. No, 10 Nichols was the one I got the most feedback on. John Fitzgibbons. We listeners appreciate it every week, but this week we get to express our gratitude. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Gilly Kelly, and thank you for all you give us all year long, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there in the ANG community. John Fitzgibbons, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. Yes.
That's the beautiful thing about Thanksgiving and Christmas is people are so nice.
Yep.
Who doesn't love?
Well, it's a time to reflect.
Who doesn't love Christmas? Yeah, right.
Time to reflect on how big of a jerk you've been all year. You know what I mean? Then you get to, share some appreciation with others.
I can think of some people that applies to more than others. Yeah. And Ryan is making the case for Tyreek Hill. He's like, it still should be Tyreek Hill. Hey, man, I'm with you, but they don't want to vote for him. All right, Kelly, which one do you want to do? You want to do number one seed, or you want to do yes and no's AFC?
Let's take a look at the AFC playoff. Okay. Because this really is fascinating. Like, this is one of those situations where you and I talk about often the being too close to the sun betting. Mm-hmm. I don't know how often you just like go. We're now in the portion of the schedule where, yes, I go to look at regular NFL records more than I would, otherwise. But this AFC is completely jumbled. So I think there's a lot of teams that were, you know, kind of penciling in the playoffs right now, but they're really only, you know, a couple losses better than what we're talking about with some of these teams on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
So got some yes, no prices.
Okay. I've got thoughts.
We're going to go.
Young Gil has thoughts. I have walked right up to the sun without sunglasses. My eyes are wide. And then I decided maybe I should step back on some of these. This is yes and no to make the playoffs. And right now you have an AFC that is super duper clustered in the standings, with the Baltimore Ravens currently having the best record only because they have played one game more than everybody else. So the Ravens are 8-3. The Chiefs, Jags, and Dolphins are all 7-3, as are the Browns. Don't forget about the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
You got the Texans and the Magic Bean Steelers at 6-4. Then you got the Bills wedged in there at 6-5. Now you're 8 teams deep, right? Remember, this is where 6 make the postseason. 7 make the postseason. That left column, 4 division winners, 3 wild cards. So the Bills begin the outside looking in brigade. They're at 6-5. And then you have the Colts, the Broncos, and the Bengals, and the Colts, the Broncos, and the Bengals all at 5-5. Everybody else with a losing record. Okay. So the question becomes, where are the best yes, no bets? Now, let's start with the yes.
Okay.
And I do this based on remaining strength of schedule as a key cog in this, as I think one should. Now, if you're about the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're like, okay, well, they're in playoff position right now. What about the yes, no price on them? The yes price on them is -135, affordable. But if you're like, oh, I can't stand the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think they're any good. Yeah, but they got the 7th easiest remaining schedule in all the NFL with a collective aggregate winning percentage of 458 against them. But I get it. You're like, I still don't love the Pittsburgh Steelers. Minus 135. I'm not interested in that price.
I can't get there. That,
yeah,
that is the first no that jumps out to me. Sorry. Okay. I know we're talking yeses.
Right. I'm just trying to get to a yes bet, right? Denver's another 5-5. They're plus 270 to get in as a yes. Plus 270. Maybe you love that price. Problem is their schedule is not easy. It's not hard. It's 15th. It's right in the middle. And if you look at Denver's schedule, as much as one might want to bet the Denver Broncos at that juicy price, boy, they got some losses you got to pin in on that schedule.
There's tough games,
and there's multiple tough games, including, and I'll get to this right here,
Browns, Texans,
at Houston, just the next 3 weeks, right? Cleveland, at Houston, at the Chargers, at Detroit. I mean, what do you get through the? I mean, we talk about the magic carpet ride of the Steelers and how they've gotten to their record. The Broncos are plus 10 in turnover differential, 10 to nothing the last 3 weeks. That ain't going to happen every week.
It's not. And you and I haven't really talked about it too much. But yes, this team has been better the past 5 weeks. You know, this is a better football team than what we saw at the beginning of the season. Am I ready, though, to dive all in, you know, get all excited about the Denver Broncos again? I don't think so.
So here's my favorite yes AFC bet.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people are going to love this, but I'm just going to tell you right now, as far as value, I think it's my favorite one. Do you know where I'm going with this?
No, but I got one in mind.
I got the 5-5 Indianapolis Colts at a yes at plus 180. Okay. Hear me out. Here's the reason. Unlike the Broncos, here is the Colts, by the way, face the 24th hardest. So in other words, you know, top 10 easiest remaining schedule in the NFL. And by the way, when you look at just the aggregate of their opponents, it doesn't really capture if it's home or away. So some of these can be deceiving because, you know, you get the hard teams at home and the easy teams on the road. And so it's actually not as easy as you might think, that kind of thing, or the opposite of that. It's not as hard as you might think. Well, with the Colts, man, I know it's Gardner Minshew, but they're coming off a bye. They got 7 games here down the stretch, and it's home Tampa Bay this week where they're a slight favorite. At Tennessee, at a Joe Burrowless Cincinnati, home Pittsburgh, at Atlanta, home Vegas, home Houston. That's pretty easy because there's no game on there where you're like automatic loss.
Yeah.
So if they go, I mean, at plus 180, that's the key to this whole thing. If they were minus 110, if it was, you know, if it was around there, I wouldn't suggest it. But plus 180, I actually think that's the value on the board for yes. You?
So. I don't hate that. I mean, at the number, right? That number, makes the difference.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this, a little bit on Monday, I think, with the Colts, where, no, you're right. Like, this is an easy schedule, but there ain't a great team, so it's not like they're going to be massive favorites in these games or anything like that. But they won't be favored in a lot of them.
But they win games you never expect them to.
Totally. Yeah. I think there's one. Because I don't know that I trust the Browns or the Steelers still be in this at the end. So I actually think there's a couple teams on the outside looking in that you could make a case for the yes for.
Mm-hmm.
If you think the Bills are turning a corner at all, and I know the schedule they've got remaining, but it's kind of the opposite of what you brought up with the Colts, where it's a tough schedule, but everybody looks at the Bills as a better team, so they're going to kind of be short dogs in a lot of those games, right? So it's a gauntlet of a schedule, but just of quality of football team, and do I think they could beat some of these teams coming up? Yeah, I do. And I think if they end up with a record of, if they can get to 9 wins, I think they're in this mix to kind of get one of those last spots. So that would be the one I'd be the most.
At Eagles, at Chiefs, home Cowboys, at Chargers, at Dolphins. Oh, boy.
It's a lot to ask.
It's brutal. But it's interesting, right? Because the Bills have the tough schedule, but everyone thinks they're better than the Colts. The Colts have the easy peasy schedule.
Right.
Who has an easier path? Keep in mind, the Bills are a half game ahead of the Colts.
And then real quick, I mean, that Steelers plus 110 to miss the playoffs. Oh, boy. I just don't know. From what I've got preseason on the Steelers team going against them already, I'm under 9 wins, like, heavy. I don't know that I'm going to add. Otherwise, I probably would be adding.
By the way, I don't think there's a no that I love.
Okay.
Somebody's going to get frisky and take, like, the Dolphins at 13-1 or the Ravens at 14-1 and just pray. but I wouldn't make those bets. Ravens have the fifth hardest schedule remaining. We'll come back with Mike Pritchard. Le'Batard next on DK. Coming back right here at VSiN.